in all of time, in all of history, man has never created one single living cell. Yet your body does that millions to billions of times a day. That's where I put my faith. So I try to encourage people. I want them to know that, listen, that there's a doctor 24/7 on the clock, making chemicals, making hormones, detoxing you. So yeah, compared to the smartest person you know or the greatest doctor you think, I'm just saying that level of intelligence is laughable compared to the wisdom that is in you right now, animating you so you can even hear me say this. If I can help you understand the magnificence of the body that God gave you, your fear of disease drops significantly. Your fear of a fever drops significantly because you realize that you're designed to heal. So I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Welcome to Designed to Heal.
Welcome back to Design to Heal. I am your average Jeff here with Dr. Ben Rall, and it's you and me, just like we always, well, not always, but it's been a while since we did the freestyle.
Hey, so yeah, right.
You know, and I love how these things start. It's usually you text me, hey man, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, and I give you ideas and you shoot them down. And then you come at it, with something better. I go, all right, you win.
Well, you know, yeah. Or sometimes, maybe sometimes your ideas, they just jog another idea. Well, the reason I ask you, I often ask my wife, I ask listeners, is because I get so myopic in my world, right? That I'm just like, well, you bill yourself as the average Jeff. You know, what's the average Jeff thinking about, right? Which is kind of, what are you living? What are you experiencing? And so some of those are topics that I think are helpful, but some of just might be super specific to you. And so it's just not worth a show on it.
Of course,
So today was kind of like that.
Yeah.
So
where are we going today, man?
Well, here's where we'll start, is, and we'll just kind of talk through this.
Yeah.
So what I'm seeing out there, this came up regarding like antidepressants, okay? Or so, and you're hearing more people having more concerns about the effects of antidepressants, the studies about antidepressants. And this is, this honestly, my friends, this is about anything that you look into in healthcare, right? The same concerns are about statins, the same concerns about the COVID jabs, this isn't like unique. This one was what hit my mind. So I was listening to this interview and a person was talking about, hey, you know, we know that antidepressants don't really do what they said, and the studies don't really show this and show that. And so people are going, well, that kind of stinks. And then there's all the side effects to them. And then there's all that.
By the way, worth pointing out that we've had some experts on here that have talked about that in the past.
Sure.
So if somebody's hearing that statement that you just made and they're like, wait, what? You know, well, like, go back and listen, right? Because there's some good, you know.
Yeah, and go listen to one of my favorite podcasts, Dr. Roger McPhillan on Radically Genuine podcast. I mean, he speaks a lot about this and does a better job than I am talking about it today.
Yeah.
But it's just real. We have to acknowledge this. So what I'm seeing is people going, okay, I don't want to be on that because I'm learning that it's not what I thought it was. It's not what I was told it was.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it would be like somebody that gave you, I use this example all the time, but it would just be like if somebody, well-intentioned or not, doesn't matter, you said you're really tired, so I gave you some cocaine. And I said, this thing's awesome. This picks you up. It helps your cells work better, gives you more energy. And you took it and you said, wow, that really did.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
You're going to probably just believe that. And you're going to be like, what's wrong with that? I felt better. Are you telling me it's bad for me?
Yeah.
So we fall for that all the time. Okay. So then what you're hearing a lot more about is you're hearing these different things in, you know, ketamine clinics or microdosing with, you know, mushrooms or MDMA and these types of drugs, okay, maybe not pharmaceutical drugs, all right, but drugs, or marijuana as another one. And somebody says, so they go, man, hey, I was really stressed, or I'm feeling anxiety, or I'm having trouble sleeping, but I smoked a joint, or I took some microdosing of mushrooms, or I took, fill in the blank, and I feel better.
So then, the amount of people on this, Ben, I mean, I don't know, especially on the marijuana thing.
Sure.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I park a car somewhere and I get out and I go, whoa, what?
But
you know, you walk by here, you do whatever.
You're
like,
right, Jeff.
It's mainstreaming, man.
It is. But here's what I would say. Probably statistically, there's probably still way more people on pharma, but you don't spell that outside of the car.
Oh, yeah. No
question. And so we have this whole pile of stuff doesn't really do what you think it does.
Right, right.
But you want to believe it does because it allows you to keep going, but I feel better on it.
Right, right.
Well, what do you say to the person that says, man, I'm really stressed out, so I drink whiskey all night and I feel better when I'm drinking whiskey?
Right, right.
Nobody says that's awesome.
Well, I mean, Ben, to me, we've talked about this in the past, that I look at this stuff always financially because I look at it and I go, they're, think about it. Somebody's profiting off of that, whether it's a pharmaceutical drug with a prescription or it's marijuana or mushrooms or whatever. Like, somebody is out there going, how can I get somebody to consume something? Like, the goal of these people, their motivation is to get somebody to consume. So they're always going to be introducing new trends, new things, whatever, and then selling you on the idea of, oh, it's meeting a need that you have right there that you didn't even really knew you had. Right. You know, like, I mean, come on.
And since I've been in the holistic healthcare for so long, what I've seen happen is, you know, for a long time, it was just trying to get people to believe that taking care of yourself was a good idea, okay? That there's value in wellness, that there's value in prevention. Like, that, you know, some people are like, what does it matter? What does it matter? I don't care, right? If it ain't broken, don't fix it. What does it matter what I eat? What does it matter if I smoke? I mean, remember, there's not that long ago, the doctors, you know, 9 out of 10 doctors prefer Camel cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've seen the ads.
So that's not a joke.
Yeah.
So that's what people do.
Right.
Okay. So, but then it come to find out it kills you.
Right.
Or Fen-Phen, or Vioxx, or thalidomide, or, you know, Ozempic, or COVID jabs. Again, I can go on and on and on, Celebrex, on and on and on, but it was never started that way. It never comes out. Hey, so, you know, so my point in this is, my concern, as people desire more natural things, it's still, honestly, still the same mindset that many of them have. I don't want to take an antidepressant. So the assumption is, but what do I take?
Yeah.
Because I have to take something, of course.
I got to say this, and sorry, I hate to backtrack for just a second here, just because I want you, I don't think I sent this to you. You know, like, the listeners know, they know, if they've been listening to this show long enough, they know that you and I text like middle school girls sometimes, and, you know, we're back and forth on things. Here's the headline, and this was from, to your point, because you just said the O word, right? This was republished today. Today is the 27th of February that we're recording, but it was a couple days ago that I first saw this. Ready? Drugs like Ozempic and, is it Wegovy? Is that how you pronounce it? Could boost the U.S. economy by $1 trillion in a few years, Goldman Sachs predicts. They get excited over this stuff, Ben. Okay? They get excited over selling these things. They get excited over these trends or whatever. And what I'm hearing you say, and what I've learned from my time of, you know, knowing you
as a friend. They're excited about
the money. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're excited about people getting healthier.
Of course they're not. That's not the goal.
That's a problem.
That's the problem, right? And so when I... You know, when I talk to you over the years, that the biggest takeaway that I've always had is just the faith and trust. The whole show, it's called Designed to Heal.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Designed to Heal if you have Ozempic. It doesn't say Designed to Heal this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
Take care of your body in a natural, different way. It's not your body plus some kind of, you know, synthetic, whatever kind of thing. Take care of your body. End of story.
We had you'll have heard it by the time this show probably airs, so this will be a little bit backwards, but we had these Dr. Tim and May on our call, BS, or on our podcast, BS Free MDs, and one of the things he talked about on there, and I'm sure it was pretty contentious for people, but and early on in the COVID, he kind of fell for it a little bit, okay, but then he woke up, if you will. But he said, his statement now is, and I think it's just a thought exercise that's really interesting. He said, we would have been, this is what he says, this, we would have been, what if during COVID you wouldn't have had a TV and all that kind of stuff, right? And we would have just done nothing, didn't change anything. We would have been better off. We wouldn't have had the economic destruction that we've had. We wouldn't have all the small business failing. We wouldn't have all the damage to our kids and our schools. We wouldn't have all the, you know, much of the division going on. We wouldn't have all the damage from vaccine side effects. We wouldn't have all this kind of stuff. We wouldn't have the medical mandates. We wouldn't have the tyranny. We wouldn't have the all of this stuff that happened. So
this, however, as Dr. Phil shows up on The View the other day, right? And he's blasting pandemic school closures, to your point, right? And we're, what, 3 years removed from that, plus, give or take, from the height of those things? And it was Sonny Hostin, who's the one of the co-hosts or whatever, like, but Ben, I mean, he was talking to Dr. She was talking to Dr. Phil, but Ben, there was a global pandemic going on, right? Clearly, there's justification for the kind of thing. We're 3 years removed, still making these arguments right there against what you're saying. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
What if we had done nothing?
Because it wasn't, because it was a lie.
Well,
not the, I mean, the justifications that we were using were not true.
Right.
Just like saying,
but people are still fighting for that. So, but you're wrong, Ben.
Well,
you're,
that's fine.
You know,
but you can still have a brain, right? Well, so when she said that, Dr. Phil, he said, you're an idiot, bar and large, right? He said, you're wrong.
Yeah.
There's, that's not what the facts say. I'm not talking about my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the facts.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't really care when somebody, like, I mean, I watched that little clip and it's embarrassing. Like, I'm embarrassed for the people on The View. Like, if you love The View, I'm sad for you because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's a very low level functioning situation of what's discussed there. We need to be better than that. You need to have a higher functioning brain. I'm going to make the assumption, if you listen to the show, you got a little bit of a brain and you're going to think about things.
Yeah.
You just need to.
Yeah.
You're really important. So you get to say, yeah, that's weird that I just can smoke pot every day and think that I'm going to be better because it makes me feel better when I do that. Well, so does whiskey. So does sex. So does a lot of things.
Right.
But we don't just do that willy-nilly because it makes me feel good.
Right.
When you raise your kids, you tell them all the time, just because you want to do that doesn't mean you're going to do it. Just because you want to have 13 cookies today doesn't mean they're good for you. Okay. So we do this. So my concern right now is because I'm seeing this influx of people that say, I don't want drugs anymore.
Yeah.
I just did a talk the other night on heart health and it was like, so all they kind of want to know is like, what supplement do I take?
Yeah.
What supplement do I take? Or what natural ish thing do I take? Do I take weed? Do I take THC?
Wine in the old wine skins, right? That's what it is. Essentially, you know, like,
and so my premise partly would be that is at least minimally, I would say this. That's not always the best question to ask. I would say it's a better, there's a old book I read one time called The Go-Giver. And and it said making money is just, I just remember this quote. And it said making money is not a bad question. It's just a bad first question. Okay. Like, you know, that's not one of your lead for life because you're going to do a whole bunch of stupid things if it's just about money.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, so you hopefully have like, I want to help people. And hey, if I can pay the bills helping people, then that's good. Okay.
Yeah, you got to make some money, but that's not your God.
Like, it's not a good first question.
Right.
Okay. Because it'll lead you down the road. You'll do anything. You'll sell your soul. You'll sell your body. You'll sell other people's. You'll step on people. You hurt people. So it's really worth reflecting on that.
Yep.
And it's actually something that I think you need to revisit in your lifetime many times. But a better question is not always what, the longer I go on this, I was just thinking about this the other day I was driving. I was like, man, my message is probably just too simple for people. Not simple, like it's just so not sexy.
Yeah.
But the longer it goes on, I'm like more committed to it than ever.
Yeah.
Cause it's always like, what do I do? 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 So when you can have, and I'm just using Dr. Tim as an example, get on there and say, just fathom this. Okay. What would have had been, so looking at the last pandemic, it would have been better to do nothing.
No vaccines, no school closures, no lockdowns, no masks.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Think how many zillions were spent worldwide and are still being spent.
We won't recover from this probably ever financially.
Energy,
we'll just go with that. But
energy and resources and mental health and capacities. How much wasted energy and time was put upon something that it never needed to be that way, we would have been better off doing nothing. Now, the caveat I would put into this is, okay, I don't think you have to do nothing, okay? But I think all you really need to do for most of what we're talking about is general basic health principles, okay? Mm. So when I say do nothing, I don't mean don't eat. I mean, when you do eat, let it be whole food. When I say do nothing, I don't mean sit on the couch and watch Netflix all day. I mean, move your body.
Yeah.
When I say do nothing, I don't mean, you know, burn the candle at both ends and be a workaholic. I mean, make sure you're getting some good sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, we just had a doctor on, we just interviewed and, you know, we talked about some complicated stuff. And then at the end, I was like, well, all right, well, you know, so what's the big takeaway? So here we're talking about all these research and all these studies and all these drugs. And he's like, well, I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, eat good, exercise, get some sleep. Get some sunshine. Like, I know these things aren't sexy, but here's the catch. Most people aren't doing them. So they're not doing the basics, and then they're still asking, what do I take? 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 But I'm still having stress. I'm still having this. My toes still hurt. I don't have this. I don't have this. And so we haven't fixed that mentality yet. In matter of fact, I still feel like it's still seen as like, you know, dumb. But let me just give you an example. I mean, a simple example, and then we can beat this up a little bit more. Like, let's just say you break your arm. Well, you know, Jeff, you've shared this, I think. You know, your son had fallen off a trampoline a few years ago and fractured his arm, right? And, you know, that's the classic, you know, scenario, right? Now, the place that he happened
to... Don't buy a trampoline, parents. But there you go.
Well, you didn't. You actually had it at a friend's house, right?
Don't go to a friend's house that has a trampoline. If you got relatives that have one, then disown them for a couple of years until your kids grow up. There you go.
So
parenting 101 from Jeff.
He actually had the thing that you talk about, which is he falls off and he breaks his arm.
Right.
Okay. Now that particular fracture, so you go to the doctor, and I don't even talk about the insurance part of this. Let's just talk about the physiological part. So you went to doctor, and what did they say to you?
They x-rayed him.
Yep.
And it was a fracture that did not need to be set. The bone was fine and everything. And basically, should be fine in 4 weeks, give or take.
Do nothing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do
then,
nothing.
And then build it as a surgical procedure.
Well, yeah, I'm not having that discussion.
With insurance.
Okay, I'm going to have that discussion. I get fired up there.
I need to rant. I'm sorry.
But so your son falls off the tramp and he breaks his arm. Yeah. And the solution is?
Do nothing.
Do nothing.
Yeah. Soft little.
Do nothing.
Sling cast thing, whatever. Sling.
Do nothing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you did that and he?
He was making me bitter in 4 weeks when I looked at how his arm had healed and I go, man, it must be nice to be young.
Yeah. Right? So he healed.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. But no matter how bad you freaked out.
Yeah.
Or no, how bad or you got worried or how much you want to stay up all night and talk about it and post about, I'm not saying you did this, right? And how bad it is and how scary it is and how terrible it is. I'm not saying you did that. I just mean, that could be a runaway train. I've got to do something. His arm is broken. I got to do something. Now, there's caveats to this conversation. Most of the time, because here's why there's part two to this.
Mm.
Because you make the false assumption, not you, maybe people, that if I did do something, that it would be better.
Mm.
Because when you start doing something, i.e. smoking a joint or i.e. taking a pill, okay, you are often still not doing those basic things.
Yep.
And now there's an old saying by Dr. Osler. He's like, you know, when a person takes a drug, they have to heal from two things now. They have to heal from the original thing and from the side effects of the drug.
That's fair.
Okay, so if I'm not sleeping, so I smoke dope so I can feel like I'm going to sleep better, but I still haven't gotten rid to the bottom of the cause because I don't have a THC deficiency, so I still haven't gotten to the cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. And so now someday, if I ever want to stop smoking weed, it's going to be real difficult.
Yeah.
That's the facts.
Yeah,
okay?
For sure.
It's just like anything, but we haven't connected that dot yet.
Addictive,
that's not true.
Well, I know that's not true. I'm just parroting the stuff that gets said out there. You know,
because somebody's gonna listen to that and they're gonna say, "Well, it's better than a drug."
Right.
It is a drug.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so we are treating symptoms naturally or with a pill is always a bad idea.
Mm.
Outside of maybe, I would just give this caveat. Outside of that, you are aware of the fact that you're just covering symptoms, and maybe you're deciding to do that for some reason, but you're making that conscious decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know people, maybe they'll say, "Hey, I'm having so much pain, I'm going to take a pill so I can get sleep." Now, I may not choose to do that, Benrol. I may not choose to do that. Somebody else may choose to, but they're not like ignorant that they're actually masking the pain.
Mm.
Okay. They're not going, "Oh, I fixed the problem because I took a pill and I don't feel anything. So now I'm healthy. Now I'm better."
Ben, I just want to know for the good of the listener, because I don't want to speculate here. Is that part of the reason why this is so important to you? Like not taking that stuff because when people get that mindset wrong, like I don't hear you saying you're making allowance for that, but at least is a little bit more, at least if they understand you're masking something, this is not healing anything. At least it's somewhat in your mind, like palatable, you know, versus the other person.
I don't even really care. Like when I say, you say palatable, like I'm not the keeper and the judge of all things health.
No, of course not. Of course
not. I just mean, at least you know what you're doing. You're
right.
Not in illusion.
But that's my point is that is of greatest concern for you, is that you have people that then come to believe, well, I took this drug and I took this thing and I took this over the counter and it's fine. And now I'm healthy and well. When in reality, they're not.
Yeah.
That's the thing that bothers you.
Not even me. I don't really care. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just want to make sure people understand.
Well, just you as a caretaker for your patients and everything.
Here's what I want. Know. So the person goes, "Hey, I understand. And I'm not going to go run around on my ankle.
Right.
I got to sleep. So I'm going to take it. But I know that I'm masking things. So like I have a lady right now that I've been taking care of, but she's got a lot of pain in her tailbone.
Yeah.
And it hurts her a lot. And then also people don't understand rebound pain. People don't know that masking the symptom actually causes breakthrough pain. Mm. Right. Just like people that are on antidepressant medications. What happens when they're on antidepressant? Patients long term, their depression gets worse, and then they need more drugs, and they're taking more, and they're taking multiple. That's the problem. That's
well studied, well established.
It doesn't cure anything,
right? And it doesn't account for many side effects of those things.
Yeah,
anyway.
It doesn't fix anything.
Yeah,
because
it's
there's no problem to fix in their definitions, because there's no such thing as a serotonin imbalance, and that's been admitted and established and confirmed.
Mm.
But that's not what they said back in the day. But now here we sit 20 years later and they go, "Oh yeah, that hypothesis has been proven not to be true." And that's from the highest authorities in the industry. But you still believe that and still take that and still told that because when you take that drug, you, quote, feel better.
Mm.
So then you go, "Ah, must be what they said." No, that's not That's not a given math problem.
Yeah.
Just because you think it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you told me that this cocaine is good for my energy and I took it. My energy's better. It must be awesome. Oh, I forgot to tell you these 48 other things.
Yeah. So how's your heart doing after that?
That'd right. But you know what I did one time? I went to drugs.com and you can go side effects of all medications. And so I go there sometimes, just all the published. And I did this one time. I actually put this in I don't remember what I wrote, what I did, but I did this as an exercise. So if you go to drugs.com and you look up all the side effects of cocaine, okay, and you get the whole list, and then you go to like Prozac, okay, the list of the Prozac risks are pages long to the one of cocaine. Like if you were just going to say, you would actually, I am not advocating for this for the listener, you know, caveat, you know, asterisk here.
Right.
Literally, but if that was going to be your argument, cocaine is safer.
Wow.
But you don't think that because the bad guy told you and it's their studies and all that kind of stuff. See, so here's what some people will say. Well, yeah, antidepressants are terrible. So that's why I smoke my weed. That's why I go get my ketamine. That's why I go get this. That's why I go get that. That's why I go get this. And what I'm saying is we're smarter people than this. That would be like saying, you know I have mold on my wall. So when I put paneling over it to cover the mold, and then somebody says, you know, that's kind of stupid because the mold's still there. And then so instead you do that and somebody goes, well, yeah, paneling is dumb.
Yeah.
Painting it is better.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's cheaper.
There you go.
And by the way, it's natural paint.
And don't worry, the lead will shield the mold.
There's not lead in paint. So you fall for that.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And then somebody says X amount of years later.
Yeah.
Right? So Ozempic was the second coming of Christ. And now, class action lawsuits from Morgan & Morgan on Ozempic.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even heard that yet.
So buckle up, folks, because what you told and all the people that took it and were lied to and manipulated and fell for it and looked at their doctor and they said, but I've lost 70 pounds, so it must be good.
Wow.
Except it gave you a heart attack. Except it paralyzed your stomach. Except it destroyed your heart. Except it destroyed your liver.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Listen, folks. Wake up. Wake up.
Yeah.
You have to change your entire, not you maybe, but like the people, not necessarily the person listening to this, but like I'm just trying to encourage you, like you'll still fall for it. And as we come in out of COVID and they're talking about disease X, like I'm just saying the next thing is coming. And they're going to try to convince you of something.
Ben, I got a question for you. Do you know the history of this? Like the history, you know, cocaine, heroin, whatever, there's a bunch of them. All the stuff I learned about in D.A.R.E.
Yeah, right.
You know, shout out to D.A.R.E. I still probably remember the theme song. You know, all of those things at some point or another were labeled, you know, illicit drugs. And it was decided for us that we can't, that, like there is no, I would like to think that the criteria for them being labeled those things was that this can't be a heart decision for Ben Rawl. There is no possible good that comes out of using these drugs.
No, that wasn't what happened, but yeah.
Okay, well, so tell us what did happen, and here's why I'm asking that question. Why those things, and why not these things right there? And if, like you said, the side effects of, you know, this is much worse than cocaine, are we just heading towards a day where all of these things over here, cocaine, just like marijuana has become mainstream? Yeah. I mean, am I going to expect to be sitting next to somebody on an airplane or whatever? And I don't even like to fly, but I'm just saying now they're shooting up heroin.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's legal.
Well, I would say a couple things. I mean, I don't really, I'll answer your question the best I can. But I think it's a whole different conversation. Okay. What I mean by that is like, that's not what I'm trying to talk about today.
No, I know, but right? I think it matters because if people understood the mechanism, which I'm assuming already is flawed, I don't know it, but I'm assuming it's flawed.
Yeah.
Okay. If people understood that mechanism, I would like to think that would bring some sensibility to them and then help them understand that, listen, because Ben, I think that the average person,
it's just been commercialism and capitalism.
Well,
Jeff,
I know that, but I think the average person sits there and goes, well, there's illegal drugs, but everything else is safe. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, we've done enough shows to kind of talk about the mechanism and the testing process and all that stuff is not what the average person thinks it is.
Yeah.
Right. But like,
but the reason that these drugs are illegal mostly, and I'm not even saying they're healthy, but the reason that these drugs are illegal is because they're natural and you can't patent them. So a lot of these drugs, like, oh gosh, what's the,
the drug that they use for getting people off heroin. Can't think of it off the top of my head real quick. What's that? They go in there into the
Girl Scout cookies?
Oh my gosh, can't think of it, but I'll think of it. But you know, it's just the synthetic version of heroin, okay? And so then they can just more meticulously, detox you.
Yeah, you can monetize it at that point. Yeah,
well, not just monetize it. I'm just saying they can say, hey, we know how much you're getting, and we can get less and less and less. Okay. Right? We know it's not on a street drug. Yeah,
do you realize what you said? You said something pretty profound right there that these things are natural.
Yeah.
Right. And you know they're not made in a lab, and therefore they can't be patented. So nobody can have the market cornered and say like and keep everybody out of the little money game that's being made.
You can't patent natural products.
Right. That's pretty powerful, man.
Well, it's a fact, and it's so this. But when once you get that, then it starts to make sense to you. It's why some people say, well, if vitamin C is good for cancer, why don't they give it to you? Because they can't patent and charge you $1 million for it.
There you go. Okay,
so this isn't that tricky to know.
Yeah, but remember, you used the word myopic earlier, and I'm telling you, this is one of those situations. Yeah. Like the average person heard what you just said, and it just hit them like a ton of bricks.
But you got to remember this tomorrow.
Right.
So you don't just write it off again tomorrow, say, I forgot about that, and then just fall for it again tomorrow and go, well, you're right. If it was good, then by golly, they wouldn't do that. But no, I just told you. So remember tomorrow when they try to fool you again. Okay. So they had to demonize, and a lot of this actually came out of the pharma book by our past guest, Gerald, right?
Posner.
Posner.
Yeah.
And he actually talks about the history of opioids and how they had to essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, but demonize the other, right? So they could synthetically make their new one, which just copies off of that one. And then they can, patent it and make billions of dollars, and kill a bunch of people.
Right.
All right. So I'm not saying that those drugs are good. I'm saying this is kind of what this episode is about. It's this thinking that's still off, okay? And a lot of it comes from a couple of things. I'll just try to restate it. It's because some of it at the foundation is you've been convinced that you have to do something. Mm. Mm. You have been convinced that whenever you hurt, physically, emotionally, something, anytime you don't feel the way that you think you want to feel, that you should not feel that way, and that you are completely should do anything you can to get that feeling away from you. Mm. Like this is the thought, this is the illusion. Mm-hmm. And the minute you swallow that pill, pun intended, then you are now on a lifelong journey of just chasing things, constantly asking yourself how you feel, what do I need to take to don't feel that way, because I don't like feeling that way, because I didn't sleep that good last night, so I'm going to smoke a joint, and I smoke a joint, and I slept better. And I'm just saying that race, that rat race, that cycle, that downward spiral, it will seem sometimes like it kind of works. And I'm just saying that it's not doing mostly what you think. Mm. So don't always feel like you have to do something. There is purpose in the pain many times. And even if it's just that it actually, so how many times have we heard a story, Jeff, of maybe somebody that's like, I'll just use an example. This is just a generalization here, but maybe there's somebody that's 70 pounds overweight and they're having high blood pressure and they're having headaches and they're tired and they're not sleeping good and they have sleep apnea. And then they get their lifestyle under control, nothing crazy, no drugs. Mm-hmm. They just start moving their body. They start, eating better. Mm-hmm. And then they lose 50 pounds. And then you talk to them again and they say, my blood pressure is normalized. Mm-hmm. I'm sleeping better than ever. Mm-hmm. I have more energy. My mood is better. So did they just cure high blood pressure, depression, anxiety, and sleep disorders, and sleep apnea? I mean, call it what you want or not. They just got healthier. Okay, so they didn't need to do 15 different things in there.
I know diabetics. I have those in extended family who, and here's the thing. It's weird. This is going to be a weird tangent real quick here, but it's right on point. Ben, I had a diabetic cat growing up, if you can imagine that, right? So my mom had to learn how to give the cat insulin and whatever. Her father was also a diabetic.
Okay.
Right?
Of the cat or your grandfather?
The cat was a boy. Okay. It was my mom's dad. Yeah, sorry. Okay. This is a weird family tree here. Like, of course you would ask these questions. Yeah.
Well, you said I didn't know where the cat fits into this.
Yeah, it's in there. Well, because as a kid growing up, to me, diabetes was that thing of, you take a shot. You have to have a shot for it. You have to have insulin. You have to have whatever. Now, I don't even still to this day understand the difference between type 1 and type 2. I kind of do or whatever. I always forget, get the ones mixed up. But here's what I do know. I got extended family members, okay, who are diagnosed as diabetic, right? Guess what? They don't take anything. Mm-hmm. They have gotten their diet. They've gotten their lifestyle under control right there and do not require any other intervention. They are doing just fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Diabetes was not like a prolonged, like long-term, like slow death sentence for them or whatever. It's just, we need to make
Even go better, Jeff. They don't have diabetes.
Right. There you go.
If they went in right now and got tested, they would say
they don't have it. You're right.
So it's a construct that's made up that labels you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
It says, I have diabetes. Just like you say, I have depression or I have anxiety.
Then
you're destined to have that for the rest of your life. I'm not saying people don't struggle with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not a death sentence. It's a construct of symptoms that they apply to you and they label you. And then the more they can label you and they make you can feel bad, oh, I'm an insomniac. I don't sleep. I'm stressed. I'm this. And the more you internalize those and you start to believe that about yourself, the more screwed you are.
So Ben, what would you say? Because you're right. Because you hear these like pharma commercials and stuff like that. And for those who suffer with or those who have or those whatever, you know, type 2, this, that, everything. How would you propose? Because this matters too. Could you propose a terminology change? Like, for example, that family member that I'm thinking of that at one point was told by someone, doctor, whoever, you know, you have diabetes, right? Would you say it something like you have symptom, your lifestyle is causing symptoms, diabetic symptoms or something like that? Here's how to heal it. Like, what, how would you, does it, because I think it matters.
I think it matters tremendously. And this isn't perfect all the time, because sometimes you do have a broken bone. So this isn't, you have to kind of clarify certain things here.
Right. But everybody has a broken bone knows that like the bone's going to heal.
Right. Totally.
Like, so who died of a broken bone? I'm fairly certain that's not the case.
Talking about, well, you can die from broken bone. I'm just saying.
But you know what I mean.
Traumatic physical injuries is not what we're talking about here.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
now,
right.
So when we're talking about everything else, which is most of healthcare. Okay. Yeah. So we'll use diabetes as a good example. So I remember learning this the first time, and I've probably used this exercise on the show before, but to your point. Mm-hmm. So somebody goes in, maybe it's your extended family, and they get some blood work done, and they said, you have diabetes, okay? So let's just say. And so then the patient, I remember this doctor telling me this story, and says, so this is when he said, you know, teach your patients to ask why 3 times.
Ooh.
Okay, now if you can do this, if you just take this little skill away from today, it'll change your life.
Yeah.
So the patient goes, well, why do I have diabetes? And he said, because your blood sugar is high. Okay. So he did his first why, right? And this one only takes 2. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, why is my blood sugar high? And the doctor goes, because you have diabetes. That, my friends, is the circular, stupid thinking
100%.
Of medicine.
Yep.
Medical model.
Yep.
Okay. So that one only took 2 whys to get to. Okay. So what I am encouraging, so what is a better way of understanding it is you can even say your blood sugar is high, and then you'd say why, and you'd say, well, your physiology is struggling. What are you eating? What are you sleeping? What are you, you know, what's your life look like, right? It's like a person saying, you have a headache, I have a migraine. Well, why do I have a migraine, right? Well, not, listen, Jeff, I am not saying that we always know the answer. You follow me? Like, I'm not proposing that just because you said, why do I have migraines? My wife gets migraines sometimes,
so does
right?
Mine.
And I love my wife. And if there's anything I could do, and she has struggled for, you know, a long time with that, and they've gotten better at times, and then she struggles. It's not because, but she doesn't medicate it.
Right.
She doesn't take pills for it. Okay. She doesn't, that's not what she does. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Right. She's tried so many different things and different detoxes and different processes. Mm-hmm. And of course I adjust her and all these things, but her model and her mindset is not, what do I need to take for this migraine? Okay. We've done all sorts of things. So I'm not saying that it will always solve the problem that you have. But I'm also saying that what would be more ridiculous, in my opinion, would just to be not even ask that and instead say, what do I take to treat it? You ask, why is it there? Is it because I'm stressed out to the max? Now, you may not be able to do anything about that stress because your life is crazy. You may not be able to do anything if your job requires you to sit 8 hours a day. You may not. You got 300 kids and you're going bankrupt. Like, you're going to be stressed out. Like, I'm not saying you might not have a headache for that. I'm just saying you need to know that when you take a pill or take a joint or take a hit or take a, you know, whatever, that doesn't mean that you fix the problem. And that's what I'm trying to get people to understand.
Yeah.
Because the minute when you decide to always look external, 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 in chiropractic, we call it above down, inside out. The body heals from above down, inside out, right? So we're looking to get to the cause of the problem. Understand that sometimes it's hard to find the cause, okay? Sometimes it's difficult. You know, you might be having side effects. You might be having migraines because you have mold in your house, okay? Black mold, but you can't find it. You can't see it. You've never even heard of it. Nobody's ever told you about it. But your bedroom is moldy because your neighbor's bathroom is flooded and it's coming through your wall. But you can't see it, but you have migraines because of it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And you went to the doctor. Are they going to test for mold?
No.
No. All right. So you may not even know how to test for mold. Then maybe it's before. I'm just using this as an example. And it was my heart for this episode, which is just reminding people, well-intentioned, holistic-minded, thoughtful, intelligent people, you still can get duped because it kind of seems like it makes sense a little bit. And then just our humanistic, like, I just don't want to hurt. Our humanistic, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm whatever. I'm struggling. I mean, we live in Florida, of course. And so, man, I don't know for you, Jeff, but it was like a crazy pollen season this year.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect you.
Yeah.
But it affects other people, which is fascinating right there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that is.
But, you know, when you go out to your car and it's like, I never saw this before growing up, right? You go out to your car and it's like, you got a yellow coating.
That's the only thing that affects me. It annoys me. And I'm like, I just washed the car, you know? Like, come on.
So some people.
But some people, they can't even go outside, dude. It's like horrible. Right? They hate it, you know?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
You know, that you and I can breathe the same amount of that pollen and be like, what?
Yeah.
You know? But then your spouse or friend or whoever, patients. But this year, for some reason, has been exceptionally bad for people. I just noticed in my office. I've just noticed people like when go through the season, I'm like, wow, about people that have never really struggled. People that are like, man, this year's really kind of hitting me, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I bring that up that because here's my point, right? That might be you and you're, here's what I'm encouraging people to say. Again, most people stay, what do I need to take?
Yeah.
I don't want to take Zyrtec. Yeah. I don't want to take, you know, whatever, Allegra, blah, 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 blah. What do I take? And I'm just saying that question is not a good first question.
So repeat again, what is your question? What's causing this or what's like, what is, how is it that
you... I would say ask why three times.
Yeah.
Okay. So for example, why I'm having allergies. Man, I'm stuffed up. Why? Well, I'm having allergies. Mm. Well, why? Well, this pollen's really high and my body seems to really be reacting. Why?
Mm.
Well, because it doesn't bug Jeff, but it bugs me. Mm. Well, why?
Mm.
And why am I allergic to it? Why? Mm. Well, and then you start to ask yourself some other questions where you might say, and then you, even if you were going to treat something, you could even put it in that category. Like, well, if I take, you know, Zyrtec and that seems to help me, why?
Yeah.
Well, because it's drying this out. Well, what is that causing?
Mm.
Why that? Oh, well, that is, what's the side effects of that? Oh, why? Did that get to the cause of the problem? Well, no. Is that actually making me more allergic in the future? Because by trying to lower that, it creates a hyper response. Mm-hmm. So then you meet people, they say, well, I used to take Zyrtec and then, but now I'm worse. Now I'm dependent on it. Now I got to take it all year long. Just like people that used to take their ibuprofen a little bit, now they're taking it every day. Now they're taking two every day. So it isn't just this given, just because it masked your symptom or made you feel better. You just need to be thinking, you know, more, you have to hold your brain accountable to yourself as you're going through this process, right? Because you'll want to lie to yourself. You'll want to justify it.
Of course.
You'll want to. And so you got to go, okay, no. I know I don't feel good. I know I wish I felt good.
Yeah.
Like I hear people that's like, oh, I hate not feeling good. I hate having the sniffles. I hate having a cough. And so I'm taking XYZ because I don't care because I don't like it, right? I'm like, but if you knew the side effects of those things, and if you knew that it's going to make it worse long-term, and you know that it's actually causing XYZ, then you might, that doesn't sound as smart as you think it sounds.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, and then especially, you know, dealing with enough people over time and realizing, you know, it isn't what they thought it was.
Right.
A classic example of mine, then we'll wind the show down on this. Yeah. A classic example of this, I think, is where I'll say in like my world, it's cortisone shots. Okay. So a person has maybe, I will just say back pain, and it's been really struggling for them. And let's just use kind of a classic. Let's just say that they're not taking very good care of themselves either. And, you know, they sit at a desk all day, they're not moving their bodies, and their back hurts. And maybe they've even been getting adjustments and it's still hurting. And so they don't want to take a pill. So they went to the medical doctor and they said, we're going to give you a cortisone shot. Okay. Now, and I've talked about this in a show before, but just using it as a simple example. So they get the cortisone shot. And as it doesn't work that good for back pain, but let's just say that for in that instance, they got that shot and it felt really good. But again, do we really think that just because it made it not hurt?
Mm-mm.
So when I'm tired and I take some cocaine or when I'm, you know, get a dopamine rush from watching porn or taking a drug, it's the same difference.
Yeah.
I just feel better when I get loaded.
Yep.
You know, whether it's from a pharmacist or from the street corner or from whatever. And so you just have to, it's like you got to just, I don't think people realize how bamboozled they've gotten through the propaganda of how they've been told to understand their health. And they've been made to feel like that if you don't like how you're feeling, you have to take something. And that's an assumption that isn't the great idea. The best thing for your son's arm that was broken was to do nothing. That was the advice. Do nothing. Okay, now, I'm not telling people to do nothing. I'm saying those things that you do, you have a body. You feed it usually a few times a day. I would suggest the things you feed it should be decent. You have a body that's designed to move. It's a really good idea to do that intentionally and somewhat regularly. You don't have to do it at a gym. I don't care. Do it in your living room. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know, your body's designed to sleep for a certain number of hours a day, plus or minus. If you're not getting that, that's going to affect you. Okay, right? And then just also take into account a lot of the things taken into account is the things that you're throwing at your body. I just read a study the other day, Jeff, crazy enough. It was a crazy example, but I don't say end on this, but it was actually a study that showed that people that regularly use mouthwash, it increases their blood pressure. Like a significant amount.
Really?
Yeah. And so you go, well, why?
Yeah, I want to know why. Why is that?
Because it disrupts the natural biome of the mouth and the bacteria that are designed to be there. And those bacteria release nitric oxide. Okay. And that nitrous oxide goes into your body and it lowers your blood pressure because it keeps your body. So it's almost like your body's designed to heal. So you mean gargling Scope and Listerine isn't good for me? Correct. So I do that every day and it gives me high blood pressure. But it's normal because everybody has Scope and Listerine.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. Okay. But you so sometimes you're doing something that seems innocuous. You're doing something that doesn't seem like that big. I was talking to somebody this morning and he's had a lot of sleeping issues. And he's a hardworking guy and he just can lay at night and he just sometimes he gets so stressed out he can't sleep. And I saw him this morning and we were just talking and he said, yeah, he's only drinking one cup of coffee now in the morning. And he said, because one day something had happened and he was fasting and he didn't have coffee that day because he couldn't. And he noticed that he slept so much better that night. He said, it was like unbelievable. Okay. He said, I slept like I've never slept before. He said, I literally didn't even know what happened. And he said, and so it really shocked him. And so now he's kind of played with it a little bit. He's learned if I just have just one cup of coffee in the morning, no more that day, I sleep so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he thought I have insomnia. I have this. And he could have certainly went to the place, right? And they would have given him a pill.
Oh yeah.
They'd give him sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Okay.
With no mention of lifestyle change.
Yeah.
You know,
not even close. Matter of fact, if you were to bring it up, they'd say that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe extreme cases, but they would have, this person wasn't even an extreme case. I said, how late were you drinking coffee? He goes, no, I never drank it past noon. Okay, so it isn't like he was having a cup of coffee super sensitive to caffeine.
I am.
You are. He said his mom used to be that way, or was that way too.
Yeah.
So I'm saying.
By the way, for the listeners, you hear the jacked up energy that I'm usually not. That's usually all natural. Like no joke. Some people are like that. They just are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
end of story. So, like, you know, could you imagine me like drinking caffeine at 9 o'clock at night? Are you freaking kidding me? Come on,
true. Good point. Yeah. So
I feel for this guy.
As I'm winding down this show.
Yeah.
I know I get a little bit fired up, and you have to sort through this in your own lens. I can't decide for you what quality of life looks like for you. I can't define where you might say, you know what, I hear you, Dr. Ben, but I don't. It's just not worth it for me, or I don't think it's worth it, or I just feel better when I do it, and I know that there's risk, but I don't really care. And you know what? To each their own. I'm a medical freedom of choice guy. I just want you to at least have gone through some of the mental questions to say, what am I really doing here? So you're not living in an illusion. So you don't think just because I take insulin that I've gotten rid of my diabetes. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. We just were talking about that with another doctor today. Just because you take a drug to lower blood sugars, you haven't dealt with the problem. Just because you've taken a drug to lower your blood pressure, you haven't dealt with the underlying problem. Just because you've taken cholesterol drugs to lower your cholesterol doesn't mean you've dealt with the problem. Just because you just take a sleeping pill so you seem to go to bed doesn't mean that you're getting better sleep. Just because you take an antidepressant because you think that you have depression doesn't mean that you've gotten to the cause of the depression. Just because I could go on. Just because you've taken a pill to cover your pain, you haven't dealt with the cause of the pain. And so that's most of the medical model. So once you wake up from that, that's a good thing to wake up from, okay? And then part two of the wake up is waking up from, am I just treating things with natural things, okay? Am I just taking my oils? Am I taking my supplements? Am I taking my, I don't care. I'm not knocking those things entirely. I'm just saying think about it, because I'm sensitive to this because I see it all day long. So I don't want people to have to think they have to have 38 vitamins anymore. They have to have 38 medications. And then part three. So you kind of, after you wake up to those couple of things, you kind of go, you're kind of led to this, which I think is an okay place to start. I think it's actually a good starting place. We should go like, well, okay, if I can't take drugs and I can't take that, what do I do? And I say, that's a great question. And from there, look at your lifestyle and make sure that you are doing the basics. Once you're doing the basics, okay, getting sleep, get moving your body, eating clean. And by the way, doing that consistently and doing that for a while. Okay. You don't go exercise for a week and
but
say,
Ben, it's been 3 days.
Right. So I mean, not that, right? I mean, any more than you would work with a couple, maybe doing couples therapy, and you had one visit with them and they came back next week and they said, that sucked. It didn't work. We had the worst week ever. Do you say, I'm sorry, I guess it doesn't work?
No,
that'd be stupid,
not.
Right?
I was like, which one of my couples have you been talking to? Yeah.
So because that's just not realistic.
Well, but we're also creatures of habits. What do they say? 21 days, 30 sure, days, 60 days. It takes some time to get into the rhythm of things.
So your body is healing and repairing itself, it may take time for inflammation to go down. Now, some people have dramatic results, right? They lose 10 pounds the first week. They feel better. They start sleeping better.
Right.
Or like my friend who stopped drinking coffee and had the best night's sleep of his life. Yeah. That's awesome. It doesn't always work that way.
Right.
But the things that we're talking about, those are basic principles that are just true. Okay. Every time you eat better, every time you move more, every time you get good rest and, you know, avoid the toxic things in your life, things just get better. Now, after all of that, if you're still having some struggles, after all, you know, all I say all that, that's not that much, just, you know, doing the basics. If you're still struggling, go, man, I don't know. I'm just can't seem to get over this. Well, that's where you start to look at, okay, what are the most, my opinion, what are the most conservative things I can look to add, okay, that I'm not going to need become dependent on, right? And then from there, that journey is different for everybody, right? Some people are going to need a mold detox. Some people are going to need, you know, whatever. Some people do really good with chiropractic. Some people do really good with acupuncture. Some people really good with meditation. Some people do really good with group prayer. Some people, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Dance therapy, singing. I don't care. Right. What, play basketball. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. But so, you know, I just, my hope today is just that you, maybe even some of you that are on a pretty good path, right? You know, you're like, yeah, I'm a natural, I'm holistic, I don't do this, I don't do that. Awesome. Like, that's a great thing. Just just take a minute and just see, how do you respond when you hear somebody say, man, I'm depressed? You know, is your first statement, you should take, you know, and I don't care if it's a drug or something else, right? I've got, you know, high blood pressure. You should take 38 garlics, you know, right? Like no, because it's not a deficiency in garlic any more than now there might be things in garlic that can vasodilate your vessels and lower your blood pressure, but it didn't get rid of the cause of the problem, get to the cause of the problem. So I know I'm a little bit of a broken record, but I'm more committed than ever to the importance of what I'm saying. And I'm not comparing myself to the scriptures here, but in the scriptures, it says, right, that the simple would confound the wise, right? So even though this sounds super basic, don't miss the power of it, right? Don't let the simplicity of it, because it's really not that simple. What's happening is you are supporting the most complicated, infinitely amazing, awe-inspiring human body design do what it's designed to do. So it might look simple because you're just letting it do what it's designed to do, but I assure you it's not simple, okay? Any more than when you take care of a plant or, you know, we have a dog, and our dog, our dog's not been vaccinated. Our dog doesn't take drugs we don't do all those things. And, you know, somehow she's lived. Okay. And, you know, so some people might, so when we look at animals, we understand that we don't freak out about our dog. And when our dog gets sick or our dog has diarrhea, don't go, oh my gosh, run. Mm-hmm. Some people run to the vet. I don't. Mm-hmm. Okay. And somehow she's lived to tell the tale, right? Mm-hmm. We feed her raw food. That's all she eats. Mm-hmm. And she's a dog. Okay. So, but somehow we think when a human, I've never taken my dog's temperature. I don't know. Do people take dog's temperatures? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
So dogs don't need Tylenol? We just let our dogs deal with fevers or diarrhea or whatever it is. Right. And they mostly do okay. Do things happen? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But by and large, most animals just do okay. I'm not calling us dogs or horses, but by and large, we do pretty good. Okay. So when you do the basics, what does a dog do? That's pretty basic. It eats regular food. It goes out and runs, takes a nap, does pretty good. Okay. So just consider that as you're going through this, you know, just, it's a good time to just audit your life a little bit. Ask yourself, is there any areas I've just kind of gotten, you know, yeah, I've gotten so far down the holistic. I'm always thinking, what's the next therapy I need to do? Mm-hmm. You know, and we've done shows on that, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not cold plunging and chelating and, you know, getting my red light therapy and doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this and doing this, then I'm going to have a bad day.
Yeah.
When you're thinking like that, you're taking away a lot of the power of what the body actually does without you thinking. So that's my two cents today, my friend.
All right, there it is.
Thanks for listening to Designed to Heal. Always remember that the greatest doctor lives inside of you, and God gave you what you need to be healthy and well. Connect with Dr. Ben at drbenrawl.com or achievewellness.clinic. And please share this podcast with someone who needs to hear it, and follow us on Instagram at Designed to Heal Podcast.